Please now turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, the verses 1, the entire psalm. We will be giving our particular attention this morning to the first two verses. The Word of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction. You say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. You know, turning the page on the calendar from one year to another is often a time of reflection, a time of perhaps praising God for the things that he has clearly given unto us and kept us with in our life. It is also a time of anticipation and probably a little bit of concern or perhaps even fear as to what the next year has in store. You know, it is rather common, as I have noticed, for every generation, when we get to a certain point in life and we begin to look back, and we look at the situation we find life in, we say, wow, what is happening to our world? It was so much better when I was young. And yet what I have also seen is that the generation before us said the same thing. And I'm confident that the generation after us, when we're gone, when those who are now in that young generation will again say the same thing. From a human perspective and from a reality perspective, let's be honest, there certainly is a great deal that we can point to in our world that leaves us quite concerned. And that is equally true, no matter what age you are. What new virus will we face next? What will the stock market do? Where will inflation go? Now, we could look at some of those sorts of things and yes, complain about the price of gas and the price of eggs and so on and so forth. But after all, we are willing to say that those are really just physical things. They're not really that important in the overall scheme of things. But then we can look at the church. We'll look at the academic institutions. We'll look at the culture in which we find ourselves and seeking to raise our children in, and what the world would teach us, and what it would seek to put upon us through political action. And the future really doesn't look very promising. How do we respond? Do we in fact face the future with fear and trembling, longing for the past when things were so much better, or at least we think they were? Or do we face the future with hope and confidence? You see, what we're really considering and talking about in this connection is our understanding of who God is, the importance of understanding who God is and not forgetting about that, and then also closely related to that, our understanding of our relationship with God. And that's what Moses, the psalmist here, addresses in these first two verses. So consider with me this morning that when you look through the lens of Scripture at these things, taking into account the God that is revealed unto us in the Scriptures and the connection that He has brought us to Himself in and created for us, then I submit that you will see that the things we tend to be so concerned about quickly become less and less concerning. These two verses and this psalm bears for us a tremendous lesson in life. Let's take a look at it. Now, the psalmist begins with our connection with God. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. It's our relationship with God. But immediately, and in the way of Hebrew poetry, what he is really, first of all, and most importantly saying, is underscoring that relationship when he goes on to remind us about this God that we have our dwelling with and who he is. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is the eternal creator God. You know, there are, of course, people who hate God, or specifically despise and reject the notion that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the answer to life. But even with that, there still is a great many, and for a great many, it is not at all that difficult to say that I have a relationship with Jesus. I love him. I really trust in him for eternal life. And certainly by those who identify themselves as Christians. And that's great. I trust that we all can say that for ourselves today. And yet that statement very often reflects a simple, uninformed, simply emotional statement to meet felt needs. It makes me feel good to have Jesus in this way, and it ought to. But what Jesus, what Christ, I ask, ultimately, what God is being confessed with those feelings? You see, when the psalmist, and in this case, as I've indicated, Moses, speaks about his relationship with God, he immediately reminds himself of who this God is. Because who God is not just about how I feel about him. It is, first of all, about who he is. And on that basis, what my relationship with him really means. Moses mentions three very important, what we call attributes, characteristics about God. He is eternal. He is the creator. And he does not change. You know, it was pointed out to me just this past week that of all that mankind knows about this creation, there is still 97% of it that we know nothing about. That's mind-boggling. And yet, of that which we do know, mountains are pretty big things, aren't they? You don't just very easily bring in a set of mountains and when you're done with them, move them out again. But it is for God. First of all, specifically in this way, he is identified as God who is before the mountains. Before there ever were any mountains, he is God. In our human mind, it's fairly well impossible for us to think about what a beginning and an end to mountains might be. And thus to say that he, our God, was there before they were. Simply to say that he is eternal. With mountains, there is a beginning. With God, there is not. God simply is. You know, there's no real way to think about and to give some sort of description about that, because he can't be described about the things that he is the creator of. He is outside of that creation. He is not like us. He is eternal. He is no beginning, no ending. And the best that we can say is that he is not subject to any aspect of life. He does not look at the year coming and say, whoa, there's all of these things going on. His existence is not in terms of our reality. And so when you look at those things around you, God does not see them as you do. Now, before you seriously ask the question, what is happening in our world, before you get all wrapped up with how things can be so bad. And yes, virtually every day, we turn on a computer or open up the newspaper and we read what's going on and we can't believe even worse things are going on. Beyond our imagination. And before we ask the question even more specifically, can we survive? Remember, this is God's creation. He put those mountains there. He brought them into existence. He placed them where they are at. Not only has he created as the creator, he upholds this creation by the palm of his hand. Now, I certainly don't want to make light. We mentioned earlier and prayed about and asked all of us to pray for the things that we are dealing with, they are real. Whether it has to do with life, whether it has to do with weather as we've been experiencing, disease, lawlessness. But the God who brought forth the mountains is more powerful than any of these things. He is not just on the sideline either, watching to see what the world does for itself. He does guide, in fact, and direct every part of his creation and the life that is in it. I would remind you of what our confession in Heidelberg number 26, speaking of God the Creator, says, and I quote, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that in them is, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. Yes, the troubles we are dealing with, the issues that scare us, if you will, the issues that concern us, are because of our own doing. Let's be honest. Man sinned. He brought the curse of sin upon himself. Man lives in rebellion. We have brought those things upon ourselves. But God is not the creator of evil. But the creator God does direct and guide and bring about and supervise the affairs of men and of nations according to his purpose and for your ultimate good. Every detail, think about this, every detail of your life that will take place in 2023 will take place by the sovereign supervision of the Creator God. We know that. That does not help what your portfolio tomorrow might look like when the stock market is going down, or make everybody healthy, or for the world to see the foolishness of the thinking that has become so prevalent in our culture. But it does give you an understanding of your place in this world. Finally, of this God, Moses says he is from everlasting to everlasting. You see, the eternal God of creation does not change. The God of the year 23 and the God of the year 1023 and the God of the year 2023 is the same. We may look back at life and say, wow, things have really changed, and say that the real problem is that it isn't the way it was a generation or two ago, and even be convinced that the way to assure that everything is going to stay okay and right if we just get back to doing the things the way they've always been. Well, the reality is that it is God who does not change. Man and what man does is always, let me put it this way, what man has done, while we praise God for faithful people who've gone in the past from generation to generation, even as Moses recognizes, but that's not the standard. God is the standard, because he is from everlasting to everlasting. It behooves you to constantly and in continuous fresh ways be sure that you are faithful to him. As we have been reminded and considered who God is before, when we look at our relationships with God, I want to remind you of what the Apostle Paul said when he was walking the streets in Athens, Greece, and he was looking at all of the various different idols. And he came across an idol which is entitled The Idol to the Unknown God. Because you see, the Athenians wanted to make sure they got everybody covered. And just in case they didn't have enough idols for all of the different gods, they set one up for the unknown God. And here's what Paul says in Acts 17, the verses 22 and following. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To the Unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Not only does Paul say that this God to the Ephesians, who had an unknown God, this God whom you are trying to find, you're not sure who he might be, he is the God of creation. But also, because he is the God of creation, it means everything regarding your life. In him, not in this world, but in him, we live and move and have our being. To make sense of the reality that we are dealing with, you need to begin with God. If you do not live and move and have your being in him, then indeed 2023 is scary. So is any and every other time of life. Think about the life of Moses. He was supposed to be put to death while being born. He was not able to grow up in his own family. He was raised in a situation of privilege, but yet also of idolatry. He had to flee from his life. And then God called him back again. He had to deal with the people in the wilderness. He's headed for the land of milk and honey, and yet he could not get there himself. And he says, you, that is God, have been our dwelling place for generations. The generations which suffered and died in slavery. The generations which troubled Moses in their rebellion. And yet God says, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You claim Jesus as your Savior, that's great. You trust that you have salvation, and you say that you take comfort in the hope of eternal life. Again, that's great. But when you get up in the morning, what is on your mind? When you plan your week, what do you concern yourself with? Where does your relationship with God fit into all of this? Is it, yes, I believe in God, and that means someday I have a hope, but right now I'm dealing with all of this terrible stuff here in this world. The life that really matters is with God, not just someday, but now. We dwell and we live and have our being in God. This is what Peter has in mind when he refers to believers as sojourners and pilgrims. A sojourner is one who is living in a land which is not his. Yes, the things out there are real, and they are scary. That is not where our life is at. It's not where we dwell. Your dwelling is with the eternal God, and that is how you face 2023. You see, at the heart of a relationship which the believer in Christ has is that God has given to us, made with us, a legally binding promise. We call it the covenant. And in that covenant promise, God has said, the God who was before the mountains and created the mountains has said that I will be your God and I will take care of you and I will provide for you everything that you need. Everything. That you need. It's highlighted by mentioning the generations. God is not just a God who deals with the present. Yes, he came to Adam and Eve with a promise, but his promise was not just with Adam and Eve. He made that promise with Abraham specifically, and with Abraham and his seed. He is the same God for Noah, Abraham, Moses. We look back and we see how we think things have changed. We look to the future and we see very little hope for any confidence about it. But it's not about us. It's not about this world. It is about God. And can you trust in him? Can you live with him? Yes, God does hold every generation accountable. We are told in Psalm 78 that if we want our children, that next generation, and the generations to come, as Moses talks about generations, the longevity of things, if we want them to be faithful, we better teach our children now. I want to be very careful how I say this. We ought to praise God, and we do, the faithfulness of those who've gone before us. And we trust that the church, God's people, will remain faithful in the future. But we look to God for our confidence. Not in any generation, at any point in time. He will keep those who dwell with him and not with the world. You see, God does not call you to isolate yourself from the world. You cannot raise your children in a vacuum, nor should you. We look at the world around us, and the very last thing that we ought to do is say, well, we better build some big walls around ourselves. We better hide ourselves from the world. We better protect ourselves from the world. It ought to be the other way around, because what we ought to see of that world out there is say, what a great opportunity for us now as the Church of Jesus Christ to hold high the light of the gospel so that the world is the one. And the kingdom of Satan is filled with fear. Because the world, the light of the gospel, penetrates the darkness of the world. Now, certainly we would rather that our world, our culture in which we live in, would follow the word of God in its direction for life. But finding ourselves in this world, maybe it's a good thing. We have a great opportunity dwelling with God to bring the truth of God to bear in the life of God's people. There's no need to be afraid of the future of the world because your life is with God. The God of creation, the God who does not change, is the God whom you serve this next year and beyond. You know, the really neat thing about this picture of life in Psalm 90 is not just to give us a sort of a pep talk about take courage, I'll be with you. But when you understand, you will see that not only this life is scary for the one who doesn't know God, but it is also for the kingdom of Satan. A scary proposition when the light of the gospel is held high. We praise God for the privilege to serve him in the new year. We do so as his people who dwell with him, the eternal creator God. And as we grasp even just for a little bit what Moses tells us here, what God tells us through Moses, you know what? 2023 is going to be a great year. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a joy to know that even as spoken of old by Moses, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been with us in the past. You will be with us in the future, in our life, in our being, whether in this life or in the life to come, and with all that we deal with, it is with you. And it is complete, and every need is met. We pray for these things. We ask, O God, that you would grant us your mercy. And we ask, O God, that even as we look to you, we do so in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.